Chapter 14. 9 minutes, Reacher thought, not 10. He had overestimated the likely delay, but only slightly. The cops on foot had done a fine job of corralling the approaching flow, and the cops at the roadblock itself were evidently fast and efficient. Traffic was moving through at a reasonable clip. Reacher couldn't see the search procedure in detail because of the Dodge pickup's bulk right in front of him, but clearly the protocol was nothing more than quick and dirty. He rolled on and paused and rolled on and paused, with the red-blue glare ahead of him getting brighter and fiercer with every car's length he traveled. Next to him, Alan King seemed to have gone to sleep, still with his face turned away and his chin ducked down. Don McQueen still had his arm over his eyes. Karen Del Fuenzo was still awake, but she had stopped blinking. 100 yards to go, Reacher thought. 300 feet. Maybe 15 vehicles in the queue ahead. 8 minutes. Maybe 7. Missy Smith lived in what is left when a family farm gets sold to an agricultural corporation. A driveway, a house, a car barn, a small square yard in front and a small square yard in back, all enclosed by a new rail fence with 10,000 flat acres of someone else's soybeans beyond. Sheriff Goodman drove up the driveway and parked 20 feet from the house. He lit up his roof lights. The first thing people did after a nighttime knock on the door was to look out their bedroom window. Quicker to let the lights make the explanations, rather than get all tangled up in a whole lot of yelling and hollering. Sorensen stayed in the car and let Goodman go make the inquiry. His county, his population, his job. She saw him knock, and she saw some upstairs curtains twitch, and she saw the front door open 4 minutes later, and she saw the old gal standing in the hallway in a robe. Her hair was neatly brushed, hence the 4 minutes. Sorensen saw Goodman bow and scrape, and she saw him ask the question, and she saw Missy Smith answer it. She saw Goodman write something down, and she saw him read it back for confirmation, and she saw the old gal nod. She saw the front door close, and she saw the hallway light go off, and she saw Goodman trot back to the car. "Miles from here," he said, as luck would have it. He turned the car around and headed back to the road. The white Dodge pickup truck got through the roadblock with no trouble at all. Cops peered into it from every angle and checked the load bed and then waved it onward. Reacher buzzed his window down and put his elbow on the door and squinted against the bright red-blue strobes and rolled the Chevy forward. A grizzled old trooper with stripes on his arm stepped up. He bent at the waist and scanned the car's interior, looking for something, but not finding it. So the guy started to straighten up again, already dismissing the Chevy, already thinking about the next car in line. But his eyes came to rest on Reacher's face, and his own eyes widened a little, as if in sympathy or wonder or appreciation, and he said, "Ouch." "My nose," Reacher said. "That must have stung. You should see the other guy." "Where is he now?" "Not in your state." "That's good to know," the trooper said. "You drive safe tonight, sir." Reacher asked, "Who are you looking for, Captain?" "That's very kind of you, sir, but I'm only a sergeant." "Okay, who are you looking for, sergeant?" The guy paused. Then he smiled. "Not you," he said. "That's for sure. Not you." And then he moved a foot towards the rear of the car, ready to greet the next in line. And Reacher buzzed his window up and threaded through the improvised chicane, and then he got settled in his seat and took off again, accelerating through 40, 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, with nothing at all in front of him except darkness and the white Dodge's taillights already half a mile ahead.